Welcome to the Take It Off podcast, where we see love grow. I am your co-host, Jeremy Rubin, and I am here with my guy, the man, the myth, the legend, the coach with the most, Joshua A. How you doing, Josh?
Yeah, don't forget, you know, up and coming R&B singer. I've been working on this cover by Mooney Long, Made For Me. The smell of your perfume.
I'm not doing it.
I thought I was immune. Looking around this room, and she goes to Twin, where have you been? Come on,
come on with me.
Come on with me.
I'm not doing it.
Nobody knows me like you do. Nobody gonna love me quite like you. Can't even deny it. Every time I try it, one look in my eyes, you know I'm flying. That's okay. A bar, bro. She's guilty.
When she does it, you're very correct. When you do it, not so much. But that being said, it's all subjective. It's art, right? It's art.
Come on,
subjective.
Now.
You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to give you the lob.
Give me the lob. Exactly.
So, what are we talking about today, Joshua?
Yeah, man. Thank you. That was smooth right there. That was a smooth transition.
Who gets to sing and who doesn't?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, welcome to Take It Off, See Love Grow, episode 48. Entitled The Art, The Artist, and The Audience, Navigating the Complexities of Controversial Creators. Mm. In layman's terms, we are having a discussion today about the relationship between an artist, like a musical artist, a Diddy, a Kanye West, Chris Brown, Michael Jackson, folks that have these sordid past, these controversial happenings in our personal life, and our ability to separate those acts from the art, right? What is the crucial conversation, the nuances in challenging how we embrace, consume, appreciate art that has a complicated artist attached to it publicly? Something egregious as sexual abuse and a number of other things that have unfolded from some allegations of some pretty popular folks in social media, or just in the media in general. I'll pause there. Is there anything that comes up for you with that?
Said how or should, you know, what's the line?
What's the line? Yeah.
Because I mean, you've experienced this. You know, our audience knows that you have a robust DJ business alongside, you know, your coaching practice. And you've been told by people, hey, don't play that.
Yeah, like, don't play these artists on my do not playlist.
Yeah, yep. There's a do not playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so, in my opinion, there are folks that are like, hey, there was a time where the tone... where this song was connected to a lot of great memories, was connected this was a banger, this was a slapper, this reminds me of, you know, but now as more information comes along, I am conflicted because I know that I wouldn't even be having this discussion if this wasn't an artist, right? Like, if this person was just doing these egregious acts, I wouldn't be wrestling with being connected to their work or not. It's just like, I'm not messing with you because this is how you roll. It's very interesting when we bring in art, when we bring in things that are people that are connected to things that are more established. I was talking about my middle school that I went to, you know, it was Jason Lee Middle School, now it's Hilltop Heritage Middle School, you know, and we're looking at the past and figures and what they've done. And then the question becomes, do we want to continue to honor their memory, right, with what's going on today? And so not even just how we navigate, whether, you know, how we celebrate their music or not, but is it even celebrated? And if you choose to celebrate it or not, you know, are you being judged? Are there sides to take? Mm-hmm. How important is this conversation? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it comes up for sure.
Absolutely. Well, to your point, how important the conversation is, I believe it's of utmost importance because we're using the lens of music and art specifically to have the discussion. But we are not separate from these people. Now, again, I'm not talking about being egregious and having a consistent behavior, especially when you start talking about abuse of young. I mean, we haven't brought up R. Kelly's name, but the guy has done a number of things habitually that has caused damage on young Black women that were underage. Majority of them were underage. And this is one of the first artists that I was confronted with in my lifetime where I had to make a decision about, damn, what is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, got quiet. There was a video came out. Was that him? It looked like he was, what? I downloaded it off and after.
Fam. And what's crazy is you got and we gaslighting ourselves saying it can't be.
It can't be
it can't be him.
Yep.
Right? Like we had the information was right in front of our face. Yep. The Pied Piper of R&B. If you know what the Pied Piper did, right?
Now you got a different lens on it
because on what the Pied Piper is.
What the Pied Piper is about.
Yeah, it's not just people following the Pied Piper. It's young children. Under the influence of the Pied Piper's musical talent would follow the Pied Piper. Mm-hmm. Then you talk about, you know, the song Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, mm-hmm. right? People need to understand also that this is a human thing. This is not a Black community thing. Like when you talk about abuse of power, when you talk about young women connected to the music industry. I mean, there were whole songs, you know, when you talk about the Beatles era, when you talk about the Rolling Stones era, about being with young groupies, girls that were underage. I mean, when you look at even Priscilla Presley and how old she was when she was connected to Elvis, like there are things that have been right in front of our face. And it's not just a Black thing, but it is a thing
for sure
that we're talking about. And the question becomes, when you get these very gifted people that have made contributions that have changed our lives, pushed the culture forward, influenced the genre of different music, like a lot of people don't get, you know, just how impactful we are, not just in our realm, but in music in general and how it's connected, you know, to... I mean, even the story behind Teen Spirit, Nirvana, and the drummer, and where he actually got the beat from. He got that actual beat from the Gap Band, and he talks about it in a video. Mm-hmm. So when you think about how we have, you know, we just brought up Elvis and his Baptist roots, right? Like, when you think about how pervasive our reach is when it comes to the arts, when it comes to music specifically.
You're talking about the reach of African-Americans?
The reach, right?
Yeah.
It's huge, but it's not just connected to us when it comes to these things, even though we end up on the forefront in a lot of cases. So I just want to make sure it's clear that this is a human thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that our discussion provokes that thought around how do we deal or engage with the complex human story and then reassess our values, our morality, our ethics. As it relates to supporting or not supporting, because it's not consistent, we'll excuse this over here with this particular artist and not say anything about the Gucci belt that we're wearing or the litany of racism that comes out of the high fashion industry that we still, for some reason, still consume. And I'm not above it, but it's just interesting, right? It's an interesting conversation. There's an article by this young lady named Caitlin McCracken that came out last year, and the title of the article that we can use to help support this dialogue is "Separating the Art from the Artist." And the phrase "separate the art from the artist" is commonly used in creative fields like academia, raising implications, ethical implications, as it relates to a number of things that we use in our society to be inspired from. Art is up to interpretation, right? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And so the article provides examples of influential authors who still were deeply problematic in their day. And despite their flaws, despite their works, still add significant value to the overall lexicon of what it means to be human. And what do we do with that? Is that okay? And I'm curious, even from your vantage point and your lens, because you're quite the deep thinker. How do you personally? I know we got the jargon, we got insights, we got ways to reframe things. We talk a lot about self-improvement and empowerment, and don't judge and assume and interpret. Don't apply limiting beliefs because you're going to create a binary situation where, you know, things are black and white, right and wrong. And where's our line on when that no longer applies? Or is that even a way to look at things?
Yeah, I think the line is constantly moving. It's constantly moving. And it moves based on how you are connected. I think it moves based on how close you're connected to the parties in question.
Okay.
Right.
I like that. Come on now.
So first of all, if R. Kelly were to have touched my daughter, he's not making it to the courtroom. Like,
goddamn.
Oh, don't let the podcast fool you. Oh, Hopi, if my baby, you're not, I'm climbing over, it's going to be 5 or 6 tasers on me and I'm still moving, right? Like, I get it. But then it's like.
And what part do you get?
Like, I get it. Why people would be angry, viscerally angry.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being one of the victims or connected to one of the victims, and you walk in, you're a guest at a wedding, and then someone's playing Step in the Name of Love. That song is not hitting for you. Like, it doesn't, it's not, again, it's, I'm connected to this in a different way. Mm-hmm. Because the song, the talent, mm-hmm. is what gave the individual the resources mm-hmm. and the reach to be able to do this, and in the way they've done it for so long, being protected, right, to a degree. And so the art is fuel for what's happening. I get that. Then on the other side of it, all of these people have family members, right, that can say, yeah, you know, this was his story. As a child, this is what he dealt with. This is why he chose to move
because he himself was abused. He himself
right,
was sexually
right.
abused as a child.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing this and you're like, how could he come out, quote unquote, right? When what he dealt with was this. And it skewed the gauge of how you interact with people and what that is supposed to look like, right? So because I'm close to it, because maybe it's my family, now I've got empathy in a space where everybody else is ready to, you know, burn someone at a stake. So I think it's really connected to how close you are to the parties that are involved. Like, what do you believe? You know, I've seen people who know for a fact. I know for a fact. They know, like, yeah, this is my guy. He did something wrong. But guess what? I'm going to help him get out. Like, I'm going to figure out a way to cover for him. I'm going to figure. Now, I wouldn't do it for that person over there because we don't have a relationship. But this one right here, no matter what, I'm covered. Like, we make these agreements.
Yeah.
Right? And then somebody's looking at, like, how could you cover for that person? You don't know what he's been to me, and you don't know the whole story, right? So there's a lack of information.
Yeah.
But I think as you get outside of being directly connected to the victim or directly connected to the perpetrator, then now what's the line?
And so let me just read this blurb, and then let's go there about what the line is. So the article warns against two extremes, completely discarding the artist's work due to their faults or ignoring the problematic problematic aspects of their lives altogether. Instead, the article calls for a balanced approach, acknowledging both the artistic influence and the artist's harmful ideologies or behaviors or actions, blah, blah, blah. The point here is that sometimes you're still intimately connected to that particular artist without even knowing them directly because of their art. You are connected to that person through the art. And so in separating the art from the artist, many of us don't even know these people, Diddy, Kanye, Chris Brown, like a number of them. But we know of them through their music. We know
their story.
We know their story through what has been projected and presented to us through media. And so it's our way of getting to know them. And social media adds another layer, right? Where there's more an organic, intimate insight into people's lives. And it's funny because I was at your event last week. Beautiful event, by the way. The Seventh Secret, if you will. My guy's doing great work in these pop-up events, something that he's talked about and dreamed about and is now executing on. While I'm at your event, this young lady walks up to me and says, "Hey, you don't know me, but I feel like I know you because I follow you on social media." And it's weird because I'm like, "Hey, we don't actually have a relationship. We have a digital one, but it's one-sided because we don't really know each other. But yet I'm a fan of you, or I like what you post, or I like what you do. So now I feel some type of connection," right? Mm-hmm. So that's just on social media.
I have an expectation of you.
And I have, correct. But this is it. Because I like you, now I expect to keep liking you because of what you have given me to like. Mm-hmm. Take some accountability for how you make me feel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's just on social media. Now you add in the power of music and how, I mean, it's not just, I'm a DJ, bro. Like, it's not just music. I watch rooms in various culture and demographics and age groups come together and forget about where they are and when Monday's coming, because they're so wrapped up in the moment because of the power in the vehicle of music. And so you get attached, bro. We watch Michael Jackson sell out concerts and people pass out, bro.
It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue.
Tell me more.
Well, I mean, so as a choir boy, as a retired choir boy, right? In school, in church and all that good stuff. But then even as I've moved towards the power of like storytelling, there is no, you can't have a horror movie without music. Like horror movies, actually music is what make, you would laugh at a horror movie if there was no music involved.
Great, great example, my brother.
It's what creates the tension.
Yeah.
And then when silence comes, because now there is no music, that silence is more powerful. So music is actually, it can be a form of architecture, right? Mm-hmm. It actually helps inform and tell the story. You take out some of your greatest monologues without any music, and it's just different, you know? Like I mean, I think of even like Independence Day, when they getting ready to fight the aliens, the president got to stand up.
I was looking for my spaceship, bro. I wanted to be right there with Will Smith.
This is our Independence Day.
Yeah.
You take that speech and you take away the music. Go to Braveheart, right? When you are laying sick in your bed, would you trade every day from this day to the last,
come on, man,
to get in that British ass?
You got like, me.
That's what he's talking about.
Bro, I'm ready to go to war right now.
But the bagpipes were going. There's war drums involved.
Yeah.
And it's that music, that biblical. One of the reasons why Satan was so powerful, he was the only angel that could travel in and outside of the heart of God. And he was over worship, right? So depending on what you're connected to, song, right, is a way that we tell our story.
Yeah.
And when you're connected to a song that is telling your story, whole seasons of your life. Right. Think about the height of your youth, where youth and independence kind of intersect. You're out with your boys. You know, you're looking for Amber before Amber. Mm-hmm. What songs they're playing? Those songs hit, and it's just like it. You smile. It takes you to a place.
The soundtrack for your life.
The soundtrack of your life. So what you're telling me now?
Yeah.
Is that because this idiot did X? Come now on. I got to delete
Make it part plain.
Of my like part of my life is Ooh. Gone. Part of my life. It's that powerful. It's a heart issue. I am now connected to this person. They bring me a lot of joy. They've been there for seasons in my life. They speak a language that I understand and am connected to. Not them. We even saw as proof of, you know, we're talking about R. Kelly. As proof of R. Kelly came out, there were still women at the literally praising him at the steps of the dang jail. We support you. Right? We love you. So what does it say? Now, I'm not sitting here saying, because trust me, I've made my mistakes. I've hurt people. I have been the villain in someone's story. Yeah. I am not perfect. I'm not trying to sit here acting like I can stand on some soapbox. But what I am saying is there's a difference between someone making a mistake or, you know, someone is lying to another person. You know, I get that. But when you get to some of these layers of abuse, you're talking about, whoa, you got whole systems to protect what you're doing. You know, bodyguards, properties, people chained up.
Relationships.
Able to pay off police. When you talk about some of these people's reach because of their popularity, because of their money, because of their influence. Mm-hmm. So as I participate and continue to consume, what am I doing, right? Because it's what's so funny. People get mad at you, and you ain't even the one that did it. You just bumping the music. So again, where's the line?
Where's the line? And it's nuanced, and it is complicated. To me, it's like the perfect representation of looking at the human mirror.
Okay.
We can go borrow our stories from the Bible. David, a man after God's own heart.
Yep.
Set Uriah up front line. I'm trying to see what's good with his wife though.
Right.
And he's in the way. Well, let me see how I can just set him up to make it look like something that is not, but I'm going to benefit from it because there's something that he has that I don't, and I want it. So I'm going to go figure out how to get it.
And this is a guy who was training in the pasture for years, guarding sheep.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
With a slingshot.
Yeah. So and then is he no longer considered to be, but that's not the story. We'll use that example to then reconcile what it means to be after God's own heart. But then how does that match? How are you after God's own heart, yet you are accessory to murder?
Well, yeah.
Humans, right? Being human. And I think when I say the perfect mirror to look into music and art is the way it is from, I believe, and this is me getting a bit spiritual with a few kisses of religion, is I believe those powerful gifts are directly from our Creator. They've been put inside of us, and we go, and we have an ability to connect with other humans through our art, regardless of what it is. You have a phrase that I love. It's even in your email. Take no gift to the grave, because what has been placed in you has to come out to serve the rest of the world. But that does not disconnect you. And I think this helps the dialogue. If what I have given to the world was my mission to do, and then I find myself in a number of situations, and some of these situations, many of my life gives me the fuel, the power, the gift that it is that I've been given, regardless of how I use it, that I've been given to improve, enhance, enjoy, add perspective, no matter where I'm at in my life. And depending on how many people consume that, well, that's a direct correlation to how powerful I believe I am and what I have access to do or not do or behave or not behave. But no matter how I move, I'm going to end up causing impact on a large number of people because of how much of my gift is being consumed consistently. And so all that to say, does my art, should my art still be on trial if it still saved your life, if it still gave you a window or a way to continue to deal with your life? What does my actions have to do with your experience with what it is that I've given you that you consumed and enjoy?
Yeah. So there's, you took one saying, take no gift to the grave, but I also have another saying. The only difference between a superhero and supervillain is how they use their power. See, I think that our gift, our power, that comes with the package, right? That comes with the package. But that does not, just because you have a super gift doesn't make you like you're now immune to manipulation or
I'm not saying that at all.
No, I know you're not, but my point is that I think what at least what I experience is if you have the gift, then I'll excuse the curse. Right? Like if
but
you
can
have, you
but can't but see that's the thing. Is it a or? Can I love your music and still hold you accountable, whatever accountability may mean for you, which would come with, I don't sign off on your behavior, but I do like your music. I love it. It's a part of my life. I couldn't disconnect myself from it if I wanted to.
Right. But then in supporting the music, you're supporting the person. It's designed that way.
Yep. Oh, yep.
I'm gonna keep streaming, right? I'm gonna keep passing it down to the next generation. Like, it's designed for the art to be connected to the artist. Now, there was a time where it wasn't necessarily. There are people still in songs. There's people still in beats. There's people like you were being poached all the time, right? But it's set up so that the moment I put something out there, my name is on it. I get royalties for it.
Should that not happen?
All I'm saying is that the same thing that you're asking, if I appreciate the music, if I support the music, I'm supporting the person. There is no penalty, right? If I am, let's say for a profession, a bricklayer, and I do some egregious stuff, well, I'm not going to be able to lay bricks. It's interesting to me. It's interesting to me how, you know, you're going to be in trouble. Like, it just feels like there's a shield around certain people because they have a gift. And we know it's true. Our legal system is set up that if you got money and influence.
When it comes to consequences, I think that there's levels to that. Because my vantage point of if I can't lay brick anymore, because of some egregious act that I did on the job or I got caught up with in my personal life. So my ability to lay brick has been impacted. I can't do it or I can only do it. Maybe I got to do it behind closed doors. I don't have the freedom just to do it the way I used to do it because now there's a component that impacts that ability to do that. I believe that that happens at the higher levels. It just looks different because they're dealing with different resources. We don't even know everything that's going to come out about Diddy, right? But as the light is reaching and becoming more and more illuminating of what he has done, well, there's an impact there. Because absent of that, it doesn't, the universe will take care of the universe. Like, that's a law. Like, he's not going to get the same opportunities or get we were just getting ready to do another American Idol, but we were going to do it where meets the band meets American Idol. And we would love for you to be the executive producer of this, Sean Puffy Combs. That call is probably not going to happen.
Such a first world problem.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, for okay, sure. You don't get to be the executive producer on a show.
No, but what I'm saying is but see, he's already made his money. Just like I already made my money laying brick. But my point is that the impact of what you've done, depending on the level and egregiousness of what we've collectively decided is egregious as a society, and that doesn't mean everybody has to be bought in on what they believe is egregious. But we got enough people that believe this said action is horrible and you deserve to be held accountable, well, you might stop getting support in that way. So that might look like we had you in mind for this Diddy. Same thing happened to Jonathan Majors. We just floated the idea that he's in some shit. Marvel, boom, he was supposed to be Dennis Rodman in the movie that was coming out, and all that taken away, taken away, taken away. So you will be impacted. There will be consequences, but depending on where you are on the social economic ladder, well, yeah, you're still a millionaire. Like Kanye lost, he was no longer a billionaire for a brief moment, and then he became a 400 millionaire. Okay. Well, that I would love to just get up two of those millions of your 400 million, Kanye West. But for him, that's the consequence. You cut your net worth in half or whatever it is. If you understand what I'm saying, like there's still consequences and earning potential that's impacted no matter where you are on that ladder, socioeconomic.
Okay. So then let me ask you this question, Joshua. How do you hold an artist accountable?
But this is the accountability. Right. This comes with the accountability. Like you're not that guy like that anymore for whatever reason, because of the way our society is set up and socially engineered. Puff Daddy, your legacy now has been tainted. You're not because of what has come out, and there's validity here. And we're watching how you, well, I'm going to pay Cassie and comments but is off.
What I'm saying is how do you as the individual, right?
Because how does the audience hold our
right? Right. Because I can tell you how you support him. Keep streaming the music. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now I'm asking, how does an individual hold an artist accountable? Because to me, it's the opposite of that. It's I'm not going to support your art because that art is connected to you while you're wilding out. Outside of that, I don't know what you can do to participate. Like it's as far as holding something accountable.
Yeah, I think the accountability is in how, and that's a decision. Okay, so check this out. This is how it's done. Is it back to my example? And again, these are just various reasons. We'll probably not see Diddy or Kelly in the public eye on a new opportunity or a television show where we get to see our artists again in the way we used to see them.
For 6 months.
Well, I see the thing is R. Kelly's not coming back. Not in that way. Like think about that this last 10 years now.
And all R. Kelly has to do is say
he dropped the album in prison.
No, again.
But this happens all the time. If he did not go to prison, the album probably would have got the muscle, the money, the touring. Like nothing would have fell off. Just not Father Time would have just took over. Like, yep. Hey, you had a great run. But the consequences of his actions and how egregious it is for our society is holding him accountable not to be able to drop that same album or an album absent of his allegations to get the commercial success that he would get if he wasn't in trouble.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Kind of. But what I'm saying is that I'm not talking about economics. Like I'm not talking about the macro level. Like it's all going to work out in the wash. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the micro level, the individual. Because what we're talking about is we're talking about individuals, right? Canceling people, and those individuals become groups, and then I'm canceling you. And my question becomes, when someone is consistently participating in a behavior mm-hmm. that hurts members of the society, mm-hmm. how does the individual, without breaking the law, like shooting them, right? How does the individual hold an artist accountable?
So this is the problem or the issue. is we knew, we just talked, we opened up with it. I downloaded the video to see what everybody was talking about. And I saw a man that looked like R. Kelly. See, even that looked like him, peeing on a young girl.
The Boondocks did a whole episode on this. It's wild.
And it did not matter because, oh, I guess it ain't that big a deal because he's not in trouble. It's not on CNN. It didn't, it's not on, he's not locked up. He didn't get charged. So we'll do that. And for some people, it was enough to just see, yep, that just looked just like him. I'm done. Not supporting him anymore. Well, how do you know it was him? Bro, I remember having these conversations with people, but this is what we do. So holding him accountable clearly has a wide range of what people decide to do. I finally threw his music away after I saw the episode air on one of the, I forget, Lifetime or whatever. It was. And then I was like, oh, this is crazy. I'm listening to the victims. It's like, it's in my face now. But it was actually in my face years ago. And, oh, okay. Well, I guess, I guess it's not that bad. Again, Chris Brown, if we didn't know he beat up Rihanna in the way he did, the victim shot of Rihanna, like we're walking around thinking like, oh yeah, there ain't nothing wrong. Chris Brown's still great. Like, yeah, have him do Michael Jackson impressions and have him on BET and all those things. But it's because it's in our face where the evidence becomes irrefutable that is you're forced to make a binary decision. And I think switching gears a little bit, George Floyd is a perfect example of that. Yeah, you couldn't get away from it. It's on every screen. By the way, the world is shut down, so everybody's on their phone, and we watched a man be murdered in front of the world, crying out for help, black man. So now, great. And when I say great, now we got everybody's attention about the shit we've been dealing with in our community for years. So then you have several groups, BLM, and they get a bad rap now for money and story. Mm-hmm. All, you know what I'm saying? There's a whole story connected to that. But for our narrative, that particular instance and how it was in your face and you could not deny what you saw, even though there was still attempts to do that, there was enough irrefutable evidence for us to make a decision on how we're going to move differently. And now I'm asked to DEI this and do that and make sure our website looks like we're an inclusive company. Like we're blacking out our Tuesdays. Like it caused an impact because there was a collective awareness that you could not deny. And I think that happens with our music. Might not be as on the same level, but it happens with that. That's why R. Kelly is being held accountable now, is because there was like a, and I think our legal system promotes that. Criminal allegations, beyond a reasonable doubt. Other stuff, civil disobedience, ponderance of the evidence. Like, it's okay. I could see how that went that way, right? But the consequences are different. But dealing with criminal activity, it's in our legal system. It's beyond a reasonable doubt. And again, it's to help protect people from being locked up for crimes they haven't done. Clearly, that hasn't been perfect. But still, that is still the basis of how we hold people accountable legally in our country. And it comes out in these, I think, just using R. Kelly as an example.
I just think entertainment is different because entertainment would be just like entertainment business. When your livelihood is connected to the people and public opinion has a lot to do with your brand and how successful you're going to be. Right. And we leverage that, all of us, anybody who's connected, anybody who has a business, you want to tell the quote unquote right story. You know what I mean? Like that
story that's going to be accepted by the majority of the population to make it easier for you to be able to navigate and move and promote whatever product or service that you have.
Absolutely. For sure. But what I've found, at least, and we've touched on it a lot, it's like if people are getting enough out of it, they will ignore. It's just human nature. If I'm getting, we really not messing with H&M right now, but man, they got a big sale next week and I'm getting paid and the jeans fit right. And they always got good coats. All right, I'm going to support y'all for this week. But when that sale come around, I hope this all blows over, right? Because if there's enough in it for us, we will excuse behavior.
That's a bar. Absolutely. You know what I
mean? If and there's enough. We do it
all the time.
We do it all the time.
We do it all the time.
We do but it then we want to sit on that high horse.
Mm-hmm. When it's convenient.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you wouldn't let her talk to you like that, but you let her talk to you like that.
Yeah. Right? Because I like you. I'm getting something out of
it. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right. There's a whole thing online. Like if she likes you enough, she'll tell herself the lies that you don't need to tell her to get her to do whatever it is that you're getting her to do in that in a relationship type of flirty example.
Right. Just
clearly, same thing goes for guys. If you like her enough,
right.
You'll do a number of things to get her attention to get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there's a range. There's a willingness that people go to get what they want or to mm-hmm. maintain a lifestyle or to continue to reap benefits of work that they don't have to do. Or again, how are you designing your toxic environment?
Yeah.
Right.
And I think people need to be honest about that. I think that and that's where I said that line is connected to how connected you are, right? Mm. And if there's enough in it for you, man, you'll look the other way. You just
so will. All those bodyguards, all the security, all the additional artists that saw R. Kelly in action.
That's what I'm saying. Like
yeah, we, that saw
can,
him.
In you action. Can talk. You can talk. And oh, did he? They're like, oh, you don't understand. You know my life, and I'm scared, and I'm this, and I'm that. Okay, I get that. But you're still employed by the person. You stayed. There was something you're getting out of it, right? And yeah. Like, you know, I saw a lot of people, it's like, that were talking about, even like you talk about the George Floyd thing, like, look at all of the people that were watching, like literally watched this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, I said, if that was a golden retriever, there's no way that would happen.
Come on, fam.
That was the first thing that came to my mind. That was a golden retriever.
Mm.
There's no way. Mm. That would have happened.
Hmm.
I don't see it. I don't see it happening. Somebody would have stood up. And again, and I just, you know, and then we make our excuses. Well, was he on fentanyl? Was he this? Was he dangerous? Let's bring up his past. Let's this, let's that. The third, when it's convenient, we will excuse some shit. And I think it's just being real about that. Like before you get on your high horse about anything, understand that you have been a part of watching something that was an injustice. And you did it because there was enough in it for you to stay on the sidelines. And we've all been there, big level or small. From that point, I can see it. That being said, and right,
mm-hmm.
I think that when someone is consistently being a menace to society, you got to ask yourself, okay, what part am I playing in this? Because to be quite honest, the other side of that is that if I'm bumping the music, if I'm streaming the music, if I'm playing the music, then I am supporting the behavior. Because at the end of the day,
go ahead.
What's the consequence?
Yeah. And it gets back to the line, right? Because our people have made millions being a part of a music system that uses crack cocaine and uses drug culture and imagery and sells it to us in our urban cities and uses that to cultivate our craft, our gifting, our creativity. And that somehow that is okay, right? It's in our movie culture. It's in our, I'm watching Black Mafia Family right now on BMF.
BMF.
Like, love the Power series from 50 Cent. But 50 Cent is connected to a larger narrative about what gets past our gates. But some would argue crack cocaine destroyed the Black community during the 80s and we didn't bring it in.
Right.
Someone brought it to us. And then there's a business created. There's all kinds of shows about this. Snowfall. Mm-hmm. Snowfall. BMF. Like it didn't start with us. Scarface, right? Godfather, like organized crime. Like there's so many things that we popularize that we esteem that are very criminal. And again, I'm not on a, I watch all those shows 5,000 times. I love it. Right. I'm connected to it. I think it's exhilarating. It's like, it's all the things. Yet, that's still destructive. Lives are still lost. Families destroyed. Some moms can't call their daughter because she OD'd on something that some drug dealer gave her while they was listening to the Reasonable Doubt album by Jay-Z, who brags about, I was in a drug game and got away. I don't know what drugs he dealt that impacted Marcy Projects, and those people are no longer here because they didn't have their own self-discipline to stop an addiction that they were, that they abused. Again, who's responsible? Where's the line? Right? And I'm a Jay-Z fan. So should I not listen to his music? Because again, the line, right? It's
well, I just think
not come. Go ahead.
Let's just say that there is no place to land the plane.
Okay.
I think that the one thing, let's just say it's a stalemate. I think the one thing to take into account is, like, stop being so hypocritical.
Bar.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's a stalemate, just understand that
it's complex.
Keep that same energy. You're not keeping that same energy over here. Right. And so it's, you know, I know whole friends is like, oh, don't you ever cheat. Don't be a cheater. And the next thing you know, they're hearing about their homegirl or their homeboy, and it's cool. The whole narrative has changed because they're connected to the people. Right. So then what is it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you just said that this thing was so wrong and horrible and this, that, and the other, until it's not convenient to have that stance.
Yeah.
So I think it's being above the fray is understanding that, you know, that this line is constantly moving, that we are a bunch of hypocrites, that the energy is going to change based on, you know, it's one thing to hear, oh, so-and-so's friend died. But then if it's your friend,
it's different.
Oh, so-and-so's parents died. If it's your parents,
it's different.
It's absolutely not even the same, right? Mm. And it's built that way because if we took on everything the world had to offer in the same manner, we would not be able to operate as people. Absolutely. It would be too heavy.
Absolutely.
So that's part of the design too. But absolutely, I would just say that at the end of the day, if we can take anything from this conversation, is understanding that we're not excusing anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're not excusing behavior. We're not saying if you're gifted, you'd be above the fray. This is really more about the people that are connected to that. Understand that that line is constantly moving based on how you fit, based on what's in it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that the position where I am today, and I could be different tomorrow because I'm definitely not where I was when I just dealing with the R. Kelly example, but there is, now I don't bump R. Kelly's, I proactively do not bump R. Kelly's music anywhere, like at all.
Because of what's happened or because of how you'll be looked at?
Initially it was because of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And as that wears off, it's like, well, okay. Damn, I kind of miss a certain sound.
He served his time. Here we go.
I enjoy a certain song. This right now, that song will be perfect for what I'm doing right now. But because there's a concern about how I'll be looked at, I'll be at an event and be like, damn, are they playing R. Kelly? You know, I'm looking for, aren't we still aligned that this isn't cool? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, enough time gets in the way, and depending on how deep that connection is to what it is that you're trying to suppress, you'll find yourself right back, no judgment, right back in the space where like, oh, this is cool. This is cool. I got a different thought on it now. I got a reframe for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you know, like if I'm in a room full of victims, because I had a homegirl tell me this. She was like, don't play Chris Brown in front of me. Okay. You got it. Now, for some reason, I'm playing Chris Brown. I don't have the same connection to sexual abuse as I do physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'm alone in that.
Mm-hmm.
right? Versus the drug dealer that's bragging about how they got people addicted to their product, mm-hmm. right? It's a range of what I'm willing to tolerate to listen to have a good time to. And we very rarely, because that's on autopilot, we very rarely are conscious about what we're doing because we can get caught up in the flow and it's on autopilot and we're not conscious. Ignorance is bliss. Oh, he ain't really talking about that. That's just art. That's just this. And that's just music. We ain't talked about really movies, sitcoms,
right? Books,
the pastor.
Well, that's just giving ourselves a pass, though. Yeah, that's just giving our, I mean, let's be real about it.
Yeah.
We want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's taboo.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll access that level three energy and be like, okay, and well,
justify.
How do I justify? How do I make this make sense to me? So worst case scenario, I can explain it to another. But really, I'm just explaining it to myself so I can feel good or okay about making this decision that's taboo. And we do it with everything.
Everything.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to her. Yeah. You know, if I would have just done things a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're my friends, they'll understand. I know I done talk crazy about it for a while. But if they'll understand. Right? Like, hey, everybody loves a good comeback story. Did we both give it? Again, we will do and say and speak and train ourselves to move in any direction. That's what we
and
do.
That's what we're asking people. I think as we get, I'll be getting to a close here. Like, keep it a buck. Keep it real about what we do. And when it's convenient for you, you're on your high horse. And when it's not convenient for you, you're right there empathizing with said victim that you have found some way to connect or relate to it on a more intimate, deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that has its pains and its pleasures, its consequences, its advantages and disadvantages. So deciding who you want to be and being that person, regardless of the blowback, is really what we're asking people to do. While being mindful of the impact of being you will have on the people you love that are connected to you and that you might project these ideals inside, but yet you fail to live up to yourself. Like, leave room for the grace. This last thing, I use R. Kelly sometimes as an example, and I'm describing level six energy. I remember being in a workshop and a young lady was like, I know you say level six energy. And for those of you that don't know, you know, DM me or send me an email about how to learn more about your energy leadership index assessment and how you show up energetically. With that said, this young lady was like, you know, level six energy is talking about we're all connected. We're one. We're spiritual. We come from the same thing. Well, I'm not R. Kelly. I don't do that. Right. And so I challenged her. And I said, you're not R. Kelly. His behavior egregious, 1,000%. 1,000%, not excusing shit. Yet we do understand the plight that a hurt person has on other people. Hurt people indeed hurt other people. Now his hurt looked like that. But don't get too above it where you don't understand how a hurt person hurts other people, because you're hurting and that hurt comes out also in how you may raise your kids or how you show up at work. It's different levels and different consequences, but understanding that humans that are hurting will find other ways to hurt people. And that looks like your serial killers. That looks like your abusers, your some of these more extreme crimes, but we understand that. So don't think that you're above that because we're all connected. Just like we know how to love other people, right? This, the whole story isn't egregious and like, oh my God, you know, we just are just a group of humans that are just done. Like, there's no hope for us. Because just how we know how to access that collectively through hurt, we also know what holding space for people, keeping it real with people, you and I being able to call each other on our bullshit and loving each other through our pain and the impact that that has on growing and creating more capacity for us to be better people, whatever that may mean, right? So again, there's the shine and there's the shadow of it. And our job here is to evoke that conversation, right? Create the dialogue for you to get so, for you to loosen up on what the things that you hold so fast to, because there's a reason why you're holding so tight to that perspective, because it serves you. And there might be a selfish benefit there that you're not keeping it a buck about, because you're afraid of being rejected. You're afraid of someone saying, oh yeah, you think like that. Yeah. You can't be a part of this community. Right. And that varies even in our music choices and how we entertain ourselves. And so, with that said, man, I love having this talk with you, my brother.
I'm with you. And I think that, you know, what we're going to find is that if we look closer at it, like this is, a microcosm for a lot of different things.
Absolutely, man.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Right. We're just talking about one love.
Yep.
Right. Right. You know, oh, people, it don't matter. They lying on the stand for somebody they love. Right.
Facts.
But then we want justice for the same person.
Bro, that's why heist movies are so, I want the villain to get away. They're literally robbing, taking shit that is not theirs.
Yeah, your money.
I love Ocean's 11. And the whole story is about Danny Ocean being brittle because some dudes, that's what it's checked.
Right.
So he got to go rob.
I got to go rob you. Like I got to teach you a lesson.
The pettiness of that.
Right.
Yeah, but it's entertaining AF. And I'm rooting for the Ocean's team to get away, evade the law. Mm-hmm. And I would have a fit, again, depending on how I'm connected. If the story was from a different vantage point about how hard, I forget his name, Andy Garcia's character, how hard he did to build the casino and what he went through. And somebody just going to come in here and take my money because I'm dating his chick?
Who chose freely.
Come on, man.
Who chose freely.
Tess was something to be conquered. And now she's bright-eyed. But oh my God, look at what Danny's willing to do for my love. Okay, Danny. I'll give you access again.
Yeah. You stole 10 mil. We're good.
We're good. But perspective and being able to, you know, walk around whatever it is that we're evaluating and seeing different parts of the same whole is critical to our perspective. And we need to do that more, because we'll find ourselves we're a lot more alike than we think.
Yeah. And you know where a good place that you can kind of find this out at? A great place?
Talk to me.
Man, you need to go to Colombia, man. There's something called the Hero's Journey.
Talk about it, brother.
You know, there's an experience.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Coming in August.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we're waiting. You know, I mean, again, I know the spots are limited. You ain't even really talking about it much.
Yeah.
But maybe you start with the Take It Off audience and let them know about the opportunity that may be in front of them.
Absolutely. So we just want to thank everybody for listening, supporting us. You know, life, we're real humans out here too, navigating and making things happen in our own personal lives. But when we get the opportunity to come together and record an episode and give you all just something else to just feed on and think about, and you still keep it humming, you still downloading and sharing and talking about it, and feedback gets back to us through other listeners, that's love, right? That's just love. So we appreciate that. Continue to do that. Rate us, evaluate us, tell us, judge us, tell us how to get better. And what you want to hear. And while that's all happening in the background, I'm building something else in the background called The Hero's Journey with my buddy, Michael Matari, who's another fellow IPAC coach. And we're building a retreat for leaders, adventurers, executives, entrepreneurs that are excited about learning and growing and going through the process of self-discovery, awareness, and figuring out more innovative ways to show up authentically in your life and do that with the community of people that are like-minded on that same ascent. And so we're taking people out of their comfort zones and taking them to a foreign country in Terrona, Colombia.
I hate it when you do that.
That trip is in August, the 12th through the 17th. And we got a beautiful place to house folks and some great activities, but all this information will be launching by April 1st. If you go to my social media, you'll see a reel that we just posted, giving you a little insight about loving yourself, embracing you, similar to the stuff we talk about here on the podcast around seeing yourself wholly, loving that whole self, and then using that to grow. And we're going to be taking it off. I don't know, literally taking it off in the jungle, but you know, I was out there.
It's going to be hot. Yeah, you was out there.
Yeah, it was hot.
But I figured these folks have been rocking with us for so long. I know that the spots are limited. So, you know, if they wanted something that was transformative and a chance to just see nature, do you know, you get to a space in your life where you age and you get in this routine. Mm-hmm. And nothing changes if nothing changes. Like, if you don't break that routine and do something for you to move towards the next version of you, the update, then it's not going to happen. And so I know there's probably a lot of people that are like, man, can I afford the trip? Can I afford the trip? And again, he ain't paying me, y'all. I just know the power of, you know, we have a great relationship with a lot of layers. And I know that there was a time in my life where it's like, man, I need some extra help. It's like, I'm, you know, I'm winning in so many boxes. Like, if people were looking from the outside in, they're like, you're winning. You're making this, you have this connection with your kids, you know, you're driving this. This is how people see you in your career. But what they didn't understand was what I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
It didn't matter enough to me. I had conditioned the people around me for it not to matter. I enabled all of that behavior. And I got to a space where it's like, man, am I going to do what I want to do for me? Mm-hmm. Am I going to make this transition? Am I going to make this change? And I knew that the window was closing. Like, the window was closing. I was getting to a space where I was literally going to regret how this second half went. And I had a coaching practice before. It's like, I intuitively understand all these things, but would not allow anybody to have to hold space for me, because how could I'm the coach. What do you mean getting coached? Doesn't that disqualify you from helping other people if you need help? As asinine as that thought sounds. And then Joshua had been talking about leaving his job for about a year and stepping out. And the moment I saw what he was doing, and he had put it the work in private, he had went and trained in private. You know, he's on his whole Batman Begins. He's out there climbing the mountain.
I was on my hero's journey, man.
He was on his own hero's journey. And then I couldn't wait to support. And at the beginning, I supported because this is my guy. He supported me. I'm going to support him. Little did I know how it was going to transform areas of my life that I didn't even know needed tending to. And so what I will say with this opportunity, I don't care what the cost is. It pales in comparison to your freedom. It pales in comparison to finding a community who is going to serve you and help you move towards being the best version of yourself. It pales in comparison to your peace. And you've been spending a lot of money on a lot of things that have not worked, have not helped. You've spent it on a lot of people that are gone, that are not here. This is a space to invest in you. And just look it up. I promise you.
I appreciate
you, co-signing. It'll
appreciate
be good.
You. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we got details again, websites, price points, and packages and all that dropping here relatively soon before the 1st of April. But yeah, just, you know, if any of this interests you, and you what is it, the saying? We go fast by ourselves and we go farther together.
Yep.
This relation here is a testament to that. This brother supported me. He was my first client that bought a coaching package from me. Again, I talk about this story all the time and I could not believe it. I looked at Amber and I was like, he said he's doing what he said he was going to do. Like, that was powerful. Just do what you say you're going to do. You want to transform your life? Do it. It doesn't need to be any more complicated than that. What is required to step into a space to upgrade, right? To enhance. And that message isn't for everybody, because there's a lot of comfort in staying right where you are. And we're not
Absolutely.
We ain't judging it. I get why you don't want to be confronted with who you are. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of fear there. Because then there's a responsibility to use what you now know about who you are. Man, you got me on this last tangent. I said, some people, and I'm one of them, I dread going to get my car serviced. You know why?
Yep.
Because they are going to show me a laundry list of things that need to be attended to. And I don't want to say, I don't even want to deal with the pressure of now I know I need some new blades. I need a new this and I need a new that. I just came in here for that. But now I got all this other stuff that got exposed because I'm servicing my vehicle. And that happens in coaching sessions. You came in here because you want to do this. Next thing you, all that's going on. Nah, I don't need to meet with them no more. I got people that this is real shit. I didn't reach out to a few folks, and I'm talking to you because I know you're probably listening to my podcast here with my brother, Jeremy Rubin. Book your next session.
Yeah.
Don't run away from the power that you are uncovering consciously because it's frightening. It's like, damn, do I stay in this relationship? Do I stay in this marriage? Do I stay with this job? Do I stay this? Do I stay that? Because it was comfortable just not knowing. Ignorance is bliss. But when you give access to people to learn more about how really dope and powerful they are, that's not for everybody.
Mm. Can I speak to that? Can I tell you? So the two things that came up out of my sessions, messing with Josh, like I'm not ignorant anymore. Like what I mean by that is I know. So the two things were, you need to make space for your dream, which my dream is developing stories that go to, whether it's movies, streaming services, whatever. And when I say stories, it could be movie series. I am a natural storyteller. It is in me.
Which he's walking in right now.
They come to me, right?
Yeah, they come to me.
Right. Yeah. What are you going to do? Right. So making space for your dream. But and then even more importantly is doing gathering the discipline to get into the shape that I need to get into. Mm. Those are the two things. Make space for your dream. Right. Like, what are we doing? Are we writing daily? Are we developing something to go to the stage?
Are we pressure tester? Like?
Yeah. Right. And stay consistently in the gym. I'm up and down with those things, but I know what it is and the responsibility of that now.
Yep.
It's simple, but it's not easy.
Yep.
But
you're
just
making more movement.
Yeah.
Towards those things that you now consciously are aware of, mm-hmm. than you would be making if you never even opened that box.
For sure.
Would just be a low humming gnawing.
Yep.
It would just gnaw at you. It would just gnaw at you. That gnawing is different now. There's like I know what I should be doing for myself. And I'm consistently inconsistent in a space that I wasn't consistent at all.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
That's progress. That's enough to shake and move you into spaces you never even dreamed you'd be in, because now we're feeding the effort there because we're aware versus, shit, bro, I'm just working this job. I want to write stories, but not making the priority like at all. It's not even on my radar as something that's even possible to do. Pop-up event, inviting a team of 20 to 25 women to sit down and hear me speak about my dream and how I'm going to take their feedback and organize it into transformational tools and systems that free people through media, through video, through movie, through stage, through the arts. Man, how much does that cost?
Mm.
Put a price tag on that.
Right.
Because many of us won't. We'll distract ourselves with another Louis, another empty vacation to distract ourselves from the avoidant places in our life, from the places we want to avoid in our lives, because we know my vacation should be attached to a trip to Colombia because I've always wanted to coach internationally. So I'm going to do my whole dream all together all at once. That's why I went. I was like, this is something I want to do. So let me just combine things and make it happen versus me sitting in some ivory tower making, life is great. Again, this is not for everybody. Everybody doesn't want to work on their dream. That's okay. And you can be wildly successful not working on your dream. There are millionaires right now that are miserable because they're supposed to be doing something else to free people and free themselves. But priorities look different. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking to the person that finds something wrong with that. I'm talking to that individual that's looking for a way out to level up in a space that they've just accepted without question because it's convenient to do so.
Yep.
Yeah. Come join us on the hero's journey. There's something for you that's going to free you and transform you because it's for you, not anybody else. We're done serving people without boundaries so they can have limitless expectations of our service because they benefit directly from it with nothing in return from you other than just your compliance to help them, for you to be the hero in their story. And you're left empty-handed. You can't give what you don't have, right? It's that simple. Go get what you need from this life before you can't, because that day's coming too. That day's coming too.
That's the altar call right there.
Yeah. So download, listen, share, join our social media platforms. Tell us what you want to hear. We taking it off every episode. I think I'm down to my Speedos with how much we didn't unveiled skin.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. I was thinking about dropping an OnlyFans link in the show notes.
I'm done. So thank you for listening to Take It Off Podcast.
So they can see my love grow.
We're out. Thank you for he's tired. My son is tired. Thank you for.
And how much do you think I can charge for people to see my love grow?
I don't think anybody's like.
You don't think anybody's interested?
I don't know, bro.
I think I can test the market. See what's good.
You know, I mean, hey, if that's where you choose to go, I support you wholeheartedly from the sidelines.
Appreciate you.
I will not be first in line to support that subscription.
Yeah, hey, you could probably do a whole for the ASRM.
I'm not doing anything, okay?
Bro, there's money out here to be made, bro. Money out here to be made, man. I love you, bro.
All right, love you too, brother. Have a good day.
All right.